not sure how loud it should be.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed. Just love the Lord this evening. Hope everyone's doing well. All of you watching live feed or at a later date, welcome, first come possible. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to best thing we got is we don't really have a program. We're going to do a little change up this evening, and we're going to go ahead and have a little different format, but we're looking for a mighty move of God. We just want to praise His holy name. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request tonight, show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together, dear Lord, may we just be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, receptive to your word, dear Lord, releasing all that we have, dear Lord, anything that might distract us from this service tonight, dear Lord, we're releasing to you, and dear Lord, we're asking you to touch. Now, dear Lord, you see the hands that are raised, dear Lord, you know the needs. Dear Lord, we have those that are in recovery right now. We have those that are going through procedures, those that are waiting for other situations to be healed. And dear Lord, we know that you're the healing doctor, that you're the great I am. You're the creator of all our bodies and our minds. And Lord, now, and we just ask for those that are in need tonight, dear Lord. Lord, we ask for your strength and your guidance, dear Lord. May your word just come into our heart and our mind, dear Lord, not just to be go through, but dear Lord, to be placed in our heart. And dear Lord, we love you, and we ask that you'll accept every song sung, every instrument played, dear Lord, just to lift you up and honor you, and let it just be praise to you. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say,
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We got a special tonight. We've asked Brother Jeff, Sister Michelle to do a song for us, and we're going to turn it over to y'all now.
These will be available.
Check. We'll be in G, sister. Tell you what, I hope somebody out there knows this song, because this is a song of praise, and I just want to praise them tonight, and I want you all to sing along if you know it. Okay, is that too hot?
to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
People at our church, and not only with singing or instrument playing, but with love and the grace and mercy that each and every one of you show. We're just so blessed. I know I kind of sprung it on them Wednesday night and asked if they could do a song for us. Been waiting to get them all together. We're going to make it again. We're going to do it again. Praise God. Praise God. All righty. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. I know, like I said, it was a little different start up to service this night, but what better way than to praise Hosanna,
our
Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we have praise on our lips and on our heart every single day, every single hour, every single minute as we just lift up God and give Him all the glory.
Yeah.
We just love Him and love Him. Just praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead, like I said, and take up the offering. Don't forget, ladies, Idabel Circle is scheduled for this Tuesday night. They changed the time. Instead of 7 p.m., it'll be moved up to 6 p.m., which as of right now, Sister Linda said that will be the standard time for right now. And just, you know, pray that y'all have a wonderful meeting. And if you'd like to go, ladies, or if somebody's watching and would like to find out more about it, please contact the church and we can help you with that. And just praise God. Brother Bitsy, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord.
Reach out to the Lord.
Oh,
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, while she's getting ready, I'm going to read something else. This is one of my favorite scriptures here. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ in you. I praise the Lord for what He's done for me and my family. But I praise the Lord for the mercy that He's had on me.
Yes.
And all the prayers. And I praise Him for it. Thank you for it.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's sing, Your Cries Have Awoken the Master. Praise the Lord. Y'all worship with us.
Okay.
praise God.
Yes. Yes.
Many can relate to that song. Amen. Many, many times our cries, amen, come up before the Lord. Doesn't matter what time of day or night. And I thought several times we've been in, up at the midnight hour praying and seeking God. And when all you can do sometimes is the words just they don't come to you, all you can do is just bawl before the Lord and just scream and cry. But the Lord understands and knows and is able to be there to answer our prayers. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We've got a special treat for you now. Brother Chris is going to be preaching for us tonight. So Brother Chris, I'm going to come on and just take your liberty in the Lord. Give us what the Lord has laid upon your heart. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is good. Amen.
God is good.
He's better than that. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If God has ever done anything for you in your life, I think you should praise Him. I think you should praise Him. I think you should praise Him like it was a miracle. I think you should praise Him like there wasn't no other way, but God made a way. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. 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 God is good, amen. God is good. Brother Eddie asked me last week to preach, and all this week, I just had this passage of scripture and this thought that God had given me. And my dad, he used to tell stories about he used to play for Rex Humbard. Anybody know who Rex Humbard was? You remember Rex Humbard? My dad used to play the bass for him. And he used to tell stories about how Rex was a mighty man of God, and he saw many, many things. One of the stories I'll never forget, and it's still stuck with me, and to this day it sticks with me. And he said the pilot for Rex Humbard, he piloted a DC-9. Anytime Rex wanted to go somewhere, the pilot would, you know, fly him. He said the man was the most cut up and jovial man you ever want to see. He said, but when he got inside of that airplane, he turned into a different person. Everything was serious. And he said you couldn't cut up with him. He wouldn't cut a joke. Everything was just serious because he knew the job at hand was very serious. Tonight, it's very serious. And I believe that God wants to speak to us. And I believe that God wants to wake us up tonight. Amen. For too often we've laid to the side and just been lulled to sleep by the songs of the devil. For too often we've just taken anything that's been given to us and accepted it as truth. And we've not stood up as Christians. Maybe there was things in our life that we should have got out of our life. Maybe there was things that weren't even uncovered until now. Until tonight, that we need to get it right. But I'm telling you can leave out of this place different than how you came in. You've been fighting a battle, God's an overcomer. You know, this society and the world we live in, and I see it, I've gone, my maps track me. I have it track me everywhere I go in case something ever happens to me. And I share my location with my wife in case she ever wonders where I'm at. She knows right where I'm at. That's love. That's love. She knows right where I'm. But for the month of July, 6,225 miles is what I drove. I was amazed. That's a long way. I see a lot of things, Brother Keith, and I see a lot of signs that say you are good enough and that you can make it and that you've got this. And it goes over and over and in my spirit, and I say, no, I'm not good enough. No, I can't make it. No, I can't do this without you, Lord. And the Lord said, you know what? You're right. You are not. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. But through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jim, if you would open with prayer.
Lord, we give you all honor, Lord. Lord, we just want to praise you.
Lord, we want to thank you for being there in this time of need and this time of situations. Lord, we give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We're going to start in verse number 9. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You may be seated. And such were some of you. If I had a title for the sermon tonight, it would be, Don't Forget Where You Came From. Don't forget where you came from. All this week I've been thinking about, you know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 24, the writer said, I have somewhat against you because you've forgotten your first love. I think too many times as Christians we get so deep into studying the Word and we get so deep into trying to learn more and more and more about God that we forget about the things that God brought us out of. We forget about the things that God has done for us. It is easy for us to forget the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. As we talked about in Sunday school, there's a lot of preachers out there that preach that if you're not driving a brand new Cadillac or a brand new Rolls Royce, then you must not have Jesus in your heart. I'm going to tell you right now, I've never driven a brand new Cadillac, and I've never driven a brand new Rolls Royce, or a Rolls Royce for that matter. But I still have Jesus in my heart. And He still takes care of me, and He still watches over me, and He still provides for me every single day. His mercy is new every day, is what the Bible says. Amen. There's a lot of people that think, you know what, just because I don't have this and because I don't have that, I'm not saved. That is a lie from the devil. But too many times I saw a little thing on Facebook and it really kind of gripped me. And it said, you know what, we're too often times to write our trials in marble, but our blessings in sand. We want to remember the trials that we had, that we go through. We say, God, remember that? I had to go through that. But God said, what about the blessings that was on the other end of that? What about when I brought you through? What about when I healed your body? What about when I took care of you? We'll forget all that stuff. And we forget everything that God's done for us. You said, Brother Chris, that never happens. It happened to Jacob. When Jacob was over at the Ford Jabbok, and he was ready to go meet his brother. We all know the story, Jacob and Esau. It's a familiar story. Jacob ran from the presence of Esau because he stole his birthright. He stole the only thing that was important to him. He stole it from him. And so he took it and he ran and ran and ran. What happened was he stopped at Bethel. And he met with God there. And there was a place that he slept and he had a vision. He laid his head on a stone. Now, I've slept in some uncomfortable places. I've never had to lay my head on a stone. He laid his head on the stone and he had the vision of angels going up and down. You have to understand where he was in his life. He was at a place in his life where he had to have God. That nothing else mattered. He had to have God. When we get to a place where nothing else matters, we're going to start seeing God move. When we get to a place where we know what? I don't care what my neighbor thinks about me. I don't care what they say about me. I just want to see God move. We'll start seeing the healings like we did in old times again. We'll start seeing people getting delivered and set free like we did in old times again. Instead of just having them walk around with those burdens, they'll set them at the altar and they'll get up free. Hallelujah. That's what I want to see. But Jacob, he went to a place and he woke up that next morning. He said, surely the presence of the Lord was here. And what? I knew it not. I'm going to call this place Bethel. What was so important? Because when he got to the Ford Jabbok many years later, he said, you know what? I can't do this. I got to go back to Bethel. What happened at Bethel? He laid a stone foundation. He laid a memorial. He laid something where I don't want to forget what God did for me here. And on our Christian life, God help us if we don't stop and build a memorial and say, God, thank you for what you did here. Because when I get further on down the line, I'm a forgetful person. That's why it says this, do in remembrance of me. God, put it to my remembrance so it can come into remembrance where I can remember what you did for me, God. I'm going to build an altar right here. And when I get further up down the road, I'm not going to forget what you did for me. I tell the story many, many times, and it bears worth repeating, because just tonight as I was driving in to church, I'm driving the car and I'm sitting beside an 18-year-old miracle. The child is a miracle. God said, don't you ever forget that I gave you a miracle.
Right.
The wife went to the doctor, and the doctor said, it's not looking very good for you having kids. All I've ever wanted in my life was to have a family. You don't understand. God even gave me a dream of two boys before we had any kids. We're going to have two boys. My wife said, no, we're going to have a boy and a girl. I'm telling you, honey, we're going to have two boys. God showed me we're going to have two boys. Sure enough, there they are, two boys. But the doctor said, it is not looking very good. This cancer is not looking too good that you've got. And it looks pretty bad. If you're going to have kids, now's the time. You can't wait. Now's the time. Long story short, we prayed and we actually were able to meet with the preacher who married us. We told us to do some certain things. We followed the word of the Lord. We prayed. We fasted. We prayed. We toiled with God. We prayed. I mean, there's times when you pray and there's times when you really pray. Amen. And we said, God, we know that you're able. We know that you're able. And I said, God, just give me something. Just give me something tangible. She goes back to the doctor. The next time, the doctor says, I can't find anything wrong with you. I can't find anything, but there's this little scar that I found. Have you ever had any surgeries? At that time, she said, no, I've never had any. She said, well, it looks just like. Woo, hallelujah. It looks just like somebody has gone in and removed that cancer. I said, woo, glory to God. That was for me. That was for me, Lord. Hallelujah. That's one of my memorials. As I'm driving in, I'm thinking about it. I'm not saying nothing, but I'm thinking, glory to God. Over 18 years ago, it might seem like a long time to some, but I remember it just like it was yesterday. The same God that healed my wife is the same God that can heal you. The same God that delivers is the same God that can deliver you. The same God that set free is the same God that can set you free. Amen. My Jesus, he walked up to a grave. Lazarus had been in the ground for 4 days. Mary came up to him and said, if you'd only been a little bit earlier, if you'd only been a little bit earlier, he could have been saved. But you're too late. The time has ran out. And even if you did call him forth, surely by now, Lord, what? He stinketh. He stinketh. Jesus stood up. He got to the edge of that tomb. It wasn't Lazarus' time, you don't understand. It was for the glorifying of God, is what he said. He told the disciples, this is for the glorifying of God. You might have to go through some dead experiences, but God's still alive, amen? God is still alive. He stood up and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately, the Bible says, he threw the grave clothes off. And he came forth. I tell people all the time, I said, wouldn't that have been a miracle if Jesus would have just said, come forth. Every grave had to open up. Hallelujah. Every tomb would have had nothing but to open up. And everybody would have walked out. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. That song says, he knows your name. He knows who you are. You're walking through a dry time. You're walking through a valley. The sun doesn't always feel like it shines in the valley. Mountaintop experiences are great, but when we're in the valley, it's when we remember who we are. I'm a blood-bought, spirit-taught, tongue-toting, Bible-quoting, scripture-believing child of the Most High God, and devil, don't you forget it. That's who I am. Hallelujah. That's my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going home someday. Hallelujah. I came in and they were singing my favorite song.
Watching therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel a Holy Ghost dance coming on when that song comes on. My goodness, I'm going to wear a crown just as soon as my feet, you ever think about it, Brother Keith? As soon as my feet strike Zion, I'm going to lay down. I got some heavy burdens. I'm going to lay them down. Oh, hallelujah. As soon as I can see Jesus, Brother Tony, and lay my eyes on Jesus. He's the one who paid the price for me. He's the one who shed his blood for me. Hallelujah. He's the one that made a way that I can go to be with him. John 14:1, I quote it several times. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're trying to get in from other ways. We're forgetting about what God did for us. We're forgetting that we are a dirty, rotten sinner. We're forgetting that we were out in the world. That we were the drunkard. We were the fornicator. We were the revilers. We were all of those nasty things. And Paul was speaking to this. He said, you know what? Some of you were that way too. Now, oh my goodness. Can you imagine preaching? Oh my goodness. Well, bless God, I've been saved since I was 2 years old. And I've always been in church. Let me tell you something. There was a time in your life before Jesus came into your life, before you accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, that you were nothing but a dirty, rotten sinner. That you were nothing but a dirty, rotten sinner. You wasn't good for nothing. You was lower than a snake's belly. You ever been like that? God, I need your help. And you looked up and you realized, I got to have some help. And you reached out to Jesus. You remember that we sung that song this morning. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Yes, I was raised in church since I was 5 years old, but man, I could remember that day when I came to an old-fashioned altar and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Everything looked clear. Everything smelled different. Everything tasted different. Everything looked better to me. Why? Because He washed me with His blood. He washed me with His blood. Too often times we forget. We get sidetracked. We get so deep in studying something else that we forget what God did for us. Amen? We forget what God did for us. God, help us to remember. Have you been washed in the blood? Have you, at the very bottom where the rubber meets the road, have you been washed in the blood? We went through an evangelism explosion. Was a big thing probably about 10, 15 years ago, maybe even further than that. They would teach you, they would say, don't go up to anybody and ask them if they're saved, because everybody's saved. Yeah, I'm saved. From what? I don't know. Don't go up to ask anybody if you go to church. Yeah, I go to church. And like Brother Eddie said, you know, they'll tell you to go to church, but they can't remember the pastor's name. Something wrong with that. You ask them, the first question you ask them is, if you were to stand before Jesus and He were to say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Now think about that. 9 out of 10 people will tell you, but I'm good enough. But I'm good enough. No, you're not. No, you're not. If there was ever a serious time that we need to tell the church, no, you're not. You're not good enough. Except for the shedding of blood, you can have no remission of sins. You don't understand. You can't do it by yourself. You're trying to get somewhere that you can't go. Hallelujah. God said, you're not going to make it into heaven unless you've got my blood applied to your life. Brother Eddie mentioned in his message this morning, whenever they came and they were getting all the 2-year-olds and killing them, if that blood was applied, oh, glory to God. If that blood was applied over that doorpost, it was over the top and over both sides. And once they saw the blood, glory to God, come on somebody, this ought to light your fire. Once they saw the blood, they would keep on going. Well, the devil comes by your house and he looks and he sees the blood. And once he sees that blood, you got to understand, that devil, he can't cross that bloodline. They can't cross that bloodline. Amen. You see, when Jesus was crucified, people don't realize this, but He was beat 39 times with a cat of nine tails. Mercilessly, this beaten. He was put a cross on His back. He was carried up the Via Dolorosa. Now that Via Dolorosa is not much to look at in modern day times, but when you look at it through spiritual eyes, that is a precious, precious place, because every drop of blood that my Jesus spilt was for me. Every drop that He spilt was for you. Hallelujah. You see, When he shed that blood and he went through that, first of all, my Bible tells me that by his stripes we are healed. How did you get healed, Brother Keith? By his stripes. Because you believed it and you received it. God paid the price already for your healing. I'm just going to get a little sidetracked right here. You're walking around hurting. You don't have to. You're walking around in pain. You don't have to. You're walking around with a bad report that the doctor has given you. You don't have to. You know why? Because the price is already paid for your healing. The price has already been paid at Calvary. Somebody needs to get a hold of that and realize, I've already been healed. And you just have to believe it. You just have to receive it. Amen? Yeah. David said, God, I'm going to reach my hand through this cloud of doubt. And I'm going to believe. I'm going to lay hold of what you've got for me. And I'm going to bring it down. David was a man after God's own heart. But he still had that cloud of doubt following him around. Thomas said, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. There's times when the devil comes in our life when he tries to make us unbelief. He tries to make us doubt. And if he can make that doubt, he can make us start working and working. And we think, man, is this going to be the end? And he starts getting in our ear. Kind of like Brother Eddie said, Brother Eddie didn't realize that mosquitoes, they're very annoying. Not only do they bite you, they'll get by your ear and they'll go, and then you'll be going, shoo, shoo. They're very annoying. And those mosquitoes, when they go to bite you, they actually put in something where you can't feel them biting you when they're biting you. Don't that just sound like the devil? Trying to get you, come on over this way. Come on over this way. Come on over this side. You see, the devil's not going to mess with people that's already on his side. If the devil's giving you a hard time, you ought to thank God that you're on the right side of the fence. If the devil's not giving you a hard time, these altars are open. And that's just the plain truth. Amen. If the devil's not bothering you, you say, bless God, everything's going perfect. Watch out. Watch out. Because you know what? The Apostle Paul said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed within us. You're talking about a man that was shipwrecked twice, that was beat twice within an ounce of his life, that was thrown in numerous prisons just for preaching the gospel. Whenever he was converted, his name was Saul, and we all know the story. Saul was a Christian killer. He straight up was that's all he was. He wanted to see Christians killed. He spoke the word to have Christians killed, and people were killed. When he was sanctified, when he was justified, when he was saved, when he finally got on that road of the straight and narrow, what did Jesus tell the man who helped him? He said, I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to go through for me. And the Apostle Paul said, you know what? I might have been going in the wrong direction, but now I'm on the straight and narrow. We mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Fight the good fight. It ain't over yet. It ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't over. Let me tell you something. There is a blessed promise, and we're going to see it one day. We're going to see it one day. I think many times about Moses. I think about all that God did with Moses. You know, Moses could only see the promised land. He never entered in. Why? Because he disobeyed God. Thank God for mercy. Somebody say amen. Thank God for mercy. Without mercy, without grace, without God's goodness, none of us would even be afforded the opportunity to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But thank God that I used to be a sinner. But now, I am a saint. I am a saint. I said I used to be a sinner. Come on, somebody. I was out there, and I was. You know, I never drank, smoked, did all that junk that everybody else did. I never followed the crowd. But I used to be a sinner. I was in that old pit of miry clay. And I couldn't get out by myself. But Jesus reached his loving hands down when nobody else could. And he reached down and he got me up. And he washed me off with his blood. Hallelujah. Not only just my head or my feet or my hands. He washed me from my head to my old glory to God. Come on, somebody. To my feet. He washed everything in between. He took everything out of me that was no good. And he said, I'm going to put my spirit within you. And you're going to live. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to put on glory to God. I'm going to put my spirit. Elijah was in a valley of dry bones. We all know the story. He's in a valley of dry bones. The word of the Lord comes to him and says, "Can these bones live?" And Elijah said, "Oh Lord God, you know." He started praying. He started hearing the noise. I was in the doctor's office the other day. Brother Jeff, he's a doctor guy. He's cool to talk to. I was in the doctor's office. I'm fascinated by the bones. Now, when you get into the nerves and stuff, that's too much for me. That's too much, you know, electrical work and all. That's doctor stuff. But you get to the bones. The foot bones connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bones connected to the shin bone. And so on and so forth. And that bone started coming together. And they started coming together. And they were going around. And God said, "Look, it's the whole army of Israel. They're coming together, but they don't have no breath in them. They don't have bones that don't have any breath in them. You know what they are? They're dead." There's a lot of Christians. I'm just going to be real right here. There's a lot of so-called Christians that are walking around and they're nothing but bones. Spiritually, they're anemic. Spiritually, they haven't eaten of God's word enough that they're not going to make it to fight the devil. They're never going to make it to be in the battle because they're not strong enough. When you don't eat of the word of God, you will not be strong enough to make it in the fight. Are you washed in the blood? Are your sins forgiven? But have you eaten the word of God? Have you read it daily? Do you know what that word says, that you're an overcomer? Do you know what that word says, that I can make it through my word of my testimony and the strength of the God that's within me? Do you know that's what it says? But God said, "I'm going to breathe life into them." And when He breathed life into them, that's when the skin and the sinews and all that started coming together. He breathed life into him. And they were alive. Church, I'm afraid we're a bunch of bones without life. Lord, give us that breath. Give us the breath of life. Father God, I know we're tired. I know we've been in this fight for a long time. If you ever watch fight on TV, anybody ever watch fights on TV? They get around to the 11th round and you can see them fighters are tired. They're tired. They're tired of taking blows and they're tired of giving blows and they're tired. They just want it to be over with after a certain period of time. But something digs in way down inside of them. Call it character, call it training, call it whatever it is. It comes way down inside of them. My Bible tells me out of your belly will come rivers of living water. I said rivers. Somebody needs to get a hold of that. Rivers of living water. When you're in the fight and you're weary and you say, "I can't take it no more, God. I don't know how I'm going to have the strength to make it through this day, God." He said, "Don't you worry about it, because I've given you rivers of living water that are going to flow today." You see, we take a sip of that water and we're energized. We're refreshed. We're ready to go again, because God said, "Well, you got a little bit farther to go. A little bit farther to go. And you're going to make it." But such were some of you. I love how the apostle says that right here. The apostle Paul, he says, "But such were some of you." In verse 11, "But ye are washed, ye are sanctified." To be sanctified means to be pure. I'm pure. Oh, glory. Somebody needs to remember where they came from. Oh, glory. That just did something for me right there. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. You know what justified means? Now, I ain't never been to Bible school, but this is what I learned in children's church. I'm justified is just as if I'd never sinned. Oh, come on, somebody. I've been justified. When Jesus looks at me, I'm justified. Hallelujah, I'm justified. And let me give you something else right there. The Bible says that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. He's interceding for you and for me. Do you know that we are sitting on the right hand of Jesus? Do you know why we're sitting on the right hand of Jesus? That's a special place of honor. I'm trying to tell you, you are somebody. Don't let the devil tell you you are nobody, because you are somebody. You have the blood of Jesus flowing through your veins. You have royal blood. I saw a cute little thing on the Facebook the other day. It said,
Are you important? This little kid's talking to the other kid. He said, well, I might be. I heard my dad calling Jesus Father. I thought, you know what? If we Christians had that mentality, that you know what? I came from there. And I might have had a rough road. I've been looking through some pictures lately. You know, pictures always tell the truth. They ain't gonna lie on you. You know, if you're skinny, fat, whatever, it's gonna be right there, you know. And then you're gonna get, hey, who is this person? Okay, all right, now. Back off. In the name of Jesus, back off. But they're not gonna lie. And I remember seeing pictures of God moving in our life. I remember it's been several years ago. We went to a church who didn't have a baptistry, Brother Eddie. And we'd go out to the creek. You ever been out to the creek? You go out to the creek, and the pastor, I was always right there with the pastor, and he'd say, Brother Chris, you go out there first in case there's any snakes. Let me tell you something. You better be prayed up if you're going out and you can't see the bottom and there's snakes, because if you see one, the Holy Ghost is going to hit you. I'm telling you. Oh, Lord. You go out there, and Brother Keith, you feel something rub against your foot, and you say, in the name of Jesus, that is not a snake. That is not a snake. You go. Of course, you got to keep the straight face. You know, you go out there. All right, is everything good? Yeah, it's good. Then here comes everybody out there. Make a long story short, I can remember, and I love this because this is old school to me. I can remember people on the bank singing hymns with no music, just singing hymns. People walking into that water getting baptized. People walking into that water getting changed. It's not about a fancy church. It's not about how beautiful the church is. You are the church. You are the church. It's about what I'm trying to tell you, what God's trying to tell you. It's about getting right with God. Totally. 100%. How I long for the days to see us go into a baptismal again. Some days it was cold, some days it was warm. Many a day I would ride in the back. Tabitha had an SUV back then. I would ride in the back of Tabitha's SUV, soaking wet from my head to my toe. But just feeling like I was on the mountaintop. Just feeling like, man, God is on the move. Man, God, let us return to those days. Let us return to those days where it doesn't matter what we wear when we come into church. But when we come into church, we're going to get clean. We're going to get, hallelujah, we might come in a sinner, but we're going to leave out a saint. Thank God for those days. I love those days. Amen. I long for those days. I know I've heard stories of the old Brush Arbor meetings. And I've heard stories about how Tabitha's great-grandpa would walk for miles and miles and miles. There was even a story where he walked for miles and actually had to cross a river. He walked through the river. The river was about waist deep. He walked through the river to go have a camp meeting, a whole style Brush Arbor meeting. That's what I long for again. Let's get real with God. Let's get real with God where it doesn't matter if we have air conditioning or not. It doesn't matter if we have lights or not. We're just getting real with God again. We're just getting down to the basics. God, bring us down to the basics because we forgot our first love, Lord. We've gotten so far. We've got so accustomed. No, don't get me wrong. I enjoy the lights. I enjoy the padded pews. I enjoy and thoroughly enjoy the air conditioning. But God, if that's going to be between me and you, get it out of the way. If that's going to be between me, come on, somebody. Amen or oh me. If it's going to be between me and you, get it out of the way. Because I want to be just as close to you as I can. Amen. The other night, as I was coming home from work, I was thinking, God, we don't have much time. What if today's the day? What if today's the day? And I start thinking about people who aren't right. And it starts breaking my heart. And it hurts. And I think, God, I can't save them. Only you can do it. And the scripture comes to me. Only you can do it, Lord. But it keeps coming to me and it says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. When lost people call you up and they say, why am I going through this? Be ready to tell them because God loves you. Because God loves you. Be willing to be real with them. and say, you know what? You need to get right. Now, there's a difference between taking your Bible and beating them over the head and putting your arm around them and loving them. There's a big difference. Nowhere in the Bible do I see where Jesus took and he beat somebody over the head and said, you need to get saved. No, what'd he do? Even with Zacchaeus, he stopped. Zacchaeus was a sinner. He was a tax collector. He was one of them people you hated to see come around because he always wanted your money. You owe me such and such a dollars because of taxes. Again, I just paid you last week. He was a hated person. They hated him so much that I truly believe, Brother Eddie, that the reason why he had to climb up in that sycamore tree is because nobody wanted him to get in to see Jesus. They were so spiritual in that day. Bless God, don't let Zacchaeus see him because he's not worth it. Come on, somebody. Like we ain't never did that. Like Christians don't do that. God help us. God help us to have a heart after you. And so Zacchaeus had to climb up into that sycamore tree. And he wanted to see Jesus so bad that he climbed up in that sycamore tree. And he looked down. He wasn't even going to say anything. And Jesus stopped. You want to see mercy and you want to see grace? Jesus stopped. And he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. I'm going, oh, hallelujah. I wonder sometimes if Jesus were to come to us and say, Brother Jim, I'm going to your house today. Sister Elaine will be out of here so fast. She'd be having some cookies in the oven. She'd be cleaning the house from top to bottom before Brother Jim could even get there. Be gone. I'm not saying your house is messy. I just know how women folk are because my bride's the same way. Amen. Our house is great. This house is dirty. No, it's not. It looks great. Trust me, I've seen dirty. This ain't dirty. I'm going to your house today. What if Jesus... I'm going to put this. This excites me. I can't help it. I'm ready. What if Jesus said, Brother Jim, instead of going to your house, you're a little closer to my house. Why don't you just come on to my house? Oh, hallelujah. You know, God told Elisha that. You know, me and you have been hanging around a long time, Elisha, and you're a little closer to my house. It's getting dark. It's getting late. Why don't you just come on over to my house? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One day, Brother Keith, we're going to see that eastern sky open. One day and one day soon, we're going to see, hallelujah, those graves open up. And we're going to be, oh, hallelujah, rising up with Him. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go? Are you ready? I'm asking you, don't worry about what the person next to you thinks. Don't worry about what they say. Are you ready to go? There's nothing more important than being ready to go. Amen. Are you ready? I want to read another passage of Scripture. Romans chapter number 8, if you'll turn there. In verse number 1. There is therefore now... I love Romans chapter number 8. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. It talks about walking after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation. Somebody say no condemnation.
No, no condemnation.
To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't think you got it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Brother Chris, why'd you take that way home? Because I'm following the Spirit. Brother Chris, why'd you talk to that person? Because I'm following the Spirit. I'm not following the law. I'm following the Spirit. The law brings death. The Spirit brings life. Come on, somebody. Somebody get a hold of that. Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation. So if I am in Christ Jesus, the devil tries to come to me and says, you're not saved. He's a liar. He's a liar. The problem with the devil was, the Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. The problem is that we don't understand what that word resist means. To resist means, you can look it up in Webster's Dictionary, to meet with an equal and opposing force. Resist. When you resist that devil, you don't understand. When you resist him and you're fighting against him, there is somebody that comes behind you named Jesus. Come on, somebody. And he runs him away. Why does the Bible say resist the devil? Because you have to make the first step. When you resist that devil, do you know why he flees? Because he understands wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, the devil cannot be there. How do you know that, Brother Chris? When Jesus became upon the maniac of Gadara, what did the maniac say to him? Have you come to torment us before your time? The first thing he did was what? He fell down, he bowed down, and he worshipped him. Come on, somebody. You're talking about a demon-possessed man that bowed down and worshipped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the Savior that I choose to serve. That's my God. Hallelujah. That's my King. And he said no, and he had compassion on him. And he said, I'm going to take these demons. His name is Legion, because they are many. Many demons. Not just one, but many. And I'm going to throw them over here into these hogs. He could have done anything he wanted to with them, but he threw them over in the hogs. From that day forward, everybody looked at that man. That used to be the crazy man. That used to be the crazy. That was the guy when he met Jesus. He got changed. That was the guy that we were scared of. But Jesus did something. That's me. That was the guy that nobody liked, but Jesus. But Jesus. Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation. They couldn't bring any condemnation to him. Why? Because he met Jesus. Because Jesus took his sins. Hallelujah. Jesus washed him whiter than snow. You say, but you don't understand the things I've done, Brother Chris. There's nothing that you have done that God can't forgive you of. Nothing. I was reading a few statistics this afternoon. 123 people commit suicide every day. Somebody say, wow. 123 people. Why? Because the devil is right here. You're no good. You're nothing. One statistic that's close to my heart, and this is going to blow your mind. God help us. 125,000 a day abortions happen. 125,000. Nobody says anything. Nobody does anything. 125,000. I said, God have mercy on us. God have mercy on us. God help us. God forgive us for somewhere we've gone wrong. Somewhere we've laid down, God. God, don't let us lay down anymore. Yes, there is therefore now no condemnation, but God, forgive us. Heal our land, Lord. If there's ever a time for the church to stand up and we say, heal our land, heal our land. These people need to be washed in the blood. I've got some people that come to my work that actually work with me, and they wear shirts. I love the shirts. They get them from Walmart, they say. It says, y'all need Jesus. I love that, because every time I see it, I say, we all need Jesus. Not just one person or two. I need Jesus every day. Y'all need Jesus too. We all need Jesus. Amen. Go back to the Romans chapter number 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're walking the best way you know how, It's not easy. It's difficult. It's tough. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that the Christian walk is just all mountaintops. The valleys are very low. And it seems as we get closer to the Lord coming back, more and more Christians, myself included, it seems like we're a lot of time spent in the valley. I'd rather spend a day in the valley and be closer to the Lord than spend an hour on the mountaintop and be far away from Him. The Bible tells us that neither height nor depth nor anything shall separate us from the love of God. I don't know who God's talking to, but you felt low. You feel depression. Let me tell you something. Depression is real. It is real. You feel it creep on you. And you feel it try to attach itself to you. You need to remember that God paid the price for you. You need to remember that Jesus loves you. I can always remember a song that we used to sing from the time I was about 5 years old. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Many a night I've gone to sleep with those words. And I've said, I am weak, but You are strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Sometimes our flesh has to talk to our spirit and has to say, you need to line up with what the Word of God says. You need to line up with what God says. Jesus loves you. What the Lord's trying to tell you tonight, if you're not ready, get ready. Get ready. This could be the last opportunity that you have. This could be the last time that you're able to accept Jesus. You could leave out of here in your automobile and you could get into an accident. And you could die just like that. Death is a sure thing. It's a sure thing. But Jesus paid the price. You see, Jesus, He went into the third hell, which is called Sheol. He went into the third hell whenever He gave up the ghost. I never tell anybody Jesus died because He didn't die. He gave up the ghost. Freely, He gave up the ghost. He went into the third hell and He got the keys. The book of Revelation tells it. The keys of death, hell, and the grave. No longer do we have to be afraid of the grave. No longer do we have to be afraid of death, Christian. No longer do we have to fear going to hell, because I'm not going there. And I'm meant and I'm determined that I'm going to take as many people as will listen to me to go to heaven. We make it so hard. We say, well, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to wear this clothes and you got to do this. No, bring them into the church house. God will do the rest. You see, God's called us to be fishers of men, not cleaners of men. He's called us to be fishers of men. And if we're called to be fishers of men, He's going to send us out. We'll catch them. He'll clean them. That sounds like a good deal to me. I remember going fishing, man. The only thing I hate about going fishing, when you catch a mess, you got to clean a mess. That's just the way, unless you got somebody that just loves cleaning fish, you know, hallelujah. But you bring them in. You bring them in. This week, I challenge each and every person that's in this house. Speak to somebody. Speak to somebody. Listen. Listen for what God tells you. Listen to that still, small voice. God will speak to you. I'm ready to see souls saved. I know that time is short. I know it is. And I know that world, if we look at it, we look and we say, man, there's so many people going in such a wrong direction. But you can reach one. I can reach one. You can reach one. You can reach one. If everyone reaches one, if we step back and we take it one step at a time, and we say, God, I'm just going to follow You every day. We wake up, listen, the Monday morning demons are going to be there. I promise you they're going to be there. But you know what? If we wake up and we say, when we hit the floor, Jesus, today's your day. Today's your day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You have to talk to your flesh, because your flesh is going to say, it's Monday morning, here we go. Back to this again, it's full moon, blah, blah, blah. My spirit's going to say, you know, today is a good day. Today is a good day. Because I've got some people that come in to my office that work for me, and they said, you know what? Today's another day above ground. And I think to myself, well, you know, if you look at it kind of like that, it's either good or bad. I mean, because the Bible says to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. So it's kind of hard to... But if we, each one of us, talk to somebody. I'm not talking about beat them over the head. Are you washed in the blood? Ask them the question. If you were to stand before Jesus right now, and He were to say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your response be? And then show them with love and compassion. Do you remember when somebody showed you that you were doing wrong? You didn't want to see it. You didn't want to hear it. I never, ever, ever, this is the human side of me, I never like to be told I'm wrong. I don't like it. I don't like it. Let me tell you something. You don't either. You know why? Because you're human. We don't like to be told we're wrong. When we're going in sin, we're wrong. The only way that we can overcome that is with the testimony that we have and with the love of Jesus in our heart. That's the only way we're going to do it. Amen. I want to read one more scripture and then I'm closing. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God's got a purpose in your life. He's got a purpose for you. He's going to use you if you let Him. We are His hands and His feet. Amen? Yes. If I could have the musicians come, I just want to have them play whatever they want to play. Jesus on the Main Line is fine with me, if y'all know that. If you have a need in the house, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, whatever it might be, if you have a need, come down to these altars. The Bible says, if you'll come, the prayer of faith will heal you. Amen? The prayer of faith. Whatever it might be, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, these altars are open.
Jesus on the Main Line, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the Main Line, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the Main Line, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the Main Line.
Just call Him up.